Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. This is indeed the broadcast for, February the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2017, hour 2 of 2, the goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. On your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers, yes, indeed, it is a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time for Friday. Hope you're gearing up for a fantastic weekend full of the things that matter the most. It's all about good, better, and best. Prioritize your life, would you please? And help us restore the republic. All right, we just added a GoFundMe link to the TheFreedomCoalition.com website. There's no liberty with innocence in prison. Anyway, you can click on the GoFundMe. Great new wording added. A bunch of stuff's going on, ladies and gentlemen. We're working hard on this project, and we absolutely pray for your financial and otherwise support. TheFreedomCoalition.com. All right, now, I guess they got them alligators everywhere going on, Kurt.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's right, Sam. I guess what you got is what they call a Trumpigator, Sam. And, you know, I guess according to the WorldNet Daily Boys, South Carolinians are surprised. The nation, they surprised, by the way, the nation by giving the political neophyte Donald Trump his first victory. And now they... giving the nation another Trump surprise. They call it the Trumpigator. That's the nickname that struck to the 4.5-foot orange-hued alligator that has taken up residence in a Hanahan, South Carolina pond. This is another reason I like to live in Utah. I like not having an alligator on
the front porch. You don't like them gators,
Kurt?
Come on.
You know what I mean? No, I'm just kind of gator less friendly. Anyway, so they say this thing's got kind of like an orange hue to it, and they, some people say, well, it just did a little too much of that self-tanning. Others say, well, no, the reason that the gators like that is that, like one guy said, I say it got a hold on a bag of Cheetos. My fingers turn orange when I eat them. Just a guess, though. One guy said, but anyway, somebody said, well, it probably just got that because it stayed for the winter in a rusty drain pipe. I don't know for sure, but it's kind of interesting because I've never seen like an orange gator. Have you, Sam?
Well, I've had orange soda. Is that similar?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Maybe it's like, this is the new, maybe the new Gatorade commercial coming,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, new orange Gatorade going.
Yeah, there you go.
It'd be
the other gator story, just so you know, and this is in our gator story section because you know how we have one of those.
Kurt Cosby cranks up the gator section.
Shatrina Green, she's of Conway, South Carolina. She said she heard a thump at her door. This was a little while back. She thought that it was her dog. Yeah. She was unpleasantly surprised to see an 8-foot alligator longer than her door spread out on her front porch. Maybe it got rid of her dog. You know what I mean, Sam? But anyway, this is another reason. Occasionally we'll see a rabbit, maybe a skunk, maybe, you know, some other critters, but we don't see too many gators around, do we, Sam?
Now, the Trumpigator, that's kind of interesting because,
yeah,
you know, I think Trump's actually doing a lot of good things. I just think that all the gators in Congress are creating pitfalls and danger zones for him everywhere he goes.
That's right. Yeah.
Trump thinks it's all good. He walks in, he's like, I'm going to bring back jobs and lower taxes, and everybody's like out to get him.
Like, well, yeah, because you got the insiders and the, you know,
yeah,
outsiders,
right about that,
if you ask me.
Boy, howdy is that for sure.
Yeah.
In a 250-pound gator, Kurt, you ought to wrestle that thing.
Yeah, now that's more your style, Sam. I'm more like going to stay away from them. But, you know,
wrestling them gators?
You'd want to wrestle.
I'm kind of off that.
Yeah.
All right, well, I got to create gator juice, though, and get rich off some kind of a drink related to this, though.
Yeah, good point.
Because if they're going to call it Trumpigator, what if I created Trumpigator Punch?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there you go, man.
Now, it's, Kurt, we've played this before on the radio, but Kurt emails me. He says, hey, man, you got Uncle Jay's update on congressional recesses, and can you get the audio for me and stuff like that? And so on the break, Kurt's out in his garden.
That's right.
Eating tomatoes or something like that.
Yeah.
And Sam's hard
pushing
at work
snow
trying to
or something
get the
like
audio.
That,
well, there's no snow out there.
That's right. I know, but, you know, neither are there tomatoes, by the way.
Yeah, there's no tomatoes out there?
No.
What's wrong with you? Don't you have a greenhouse?
Right,
you're supposed to grow those things year-round.
I'm working on it.
Come on,
I'm working on it. When I'm resting, you know.
All right. Well, anyway, so I put this Uncle Jay thing in your Dropbox.
Yes.
Uncle Jay explains congressional recess. You know, I thought it's been a long time since we played it.
Yeah.
And it is quite good. I got to agree with Kurt on this one.
Yeah.
So why don't we just fire this sucker up and let everybody listen in, and we'll talk about it, okay?
All right. He's really quiet at first.
I guess
you know,
so.
Then he gets
sounds
a little
like a bogus clip to me. There
it's time.
Come on, Jay.
Uncle Jay explains the news. Now here's the guy who helps little minds understand big news stories. Uncle Jay.
Hi, boys and girls, and happy birthday, America. Uncle Jay's on vacation. Maybe you are, too. Maybe you got the weekend off before the 4th or the weekend after. But you know what? Congress has the entire week off. In fact, welcome to a special Uncle Jay episode all about the hardest-working Congress in America. Congress. That's why Uncle Jay's news word for this week is recess. Recess is the word they use when Congress takes days off. Now, it's not like school recess. The Congress doesn't go out and play and goof off and pick on people who can't fight back. They do that when they're in session. No, congressional recess is officially called a district work period. It's when each congressperson goes back to their hometown to do a job in their to do the job for their constituents. There is a district work period for President's Day, Memorial Day, Independence Day. Each one of those days lasts for a week, by the way. And then there's a two-week district work period in April. It's around spring break when everybody leaves town, so the Congress people have no choice but to follow their constituents to where they are and work. Now, all those work periods makes them so tired, boys and girls, that they need the whole month of August for a... just so they can recharge... actually, that is also called a summer district work period. So, actually, that must be the hardest work of all. But the whole rest of the year, they're in Washington, hard at work, Monday through Friday, doing all the actually just Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, because they need Mondays and Fridays to go back to their hometowns and work with their constituents. It's like having a home office, boys and girls, with all the savings of a home office, if you don't count the flying there and back, which they don't because your parents and Uncle Jay pay for that. And someday you will too. Oh, and let's not forget those exhausting fact-finding missions. Oh, they're grueling, the incredible amount of facts to be found in places like Hawaii, Cayman Islands. So when Congress actually does get some time off, they have earned it. Between Christmas and New Year's, they get to be with their families, and it's actually between Thanksgiving and New Year's when they get to be with their families. It's actually between late October and New Year's. Boys and girls, if you wonder why Congress needs so many days off, maybe it's because they need to rest up for the hard-working year ahead. Because, you know, with over 90% of them getting reelected, they're pretty sure to be stuck in this dead-end job for another term. Well, boys and girls, if you still haven't figured out the difference between work and recess, that could mean you'll be congressional material when you grow up, or especially if you don't. Well, Uncle Jay will be back from his recess next week to explain the news. And until then, remember, a good kid is good news.
Amen to that. A good kid is good news, by the way. But I will say this, though, and what's funny to me about all this work session and about all this going back to their districts to work with their constituents and all that stuff, how come none of their constituents can get a hold of them? I've tried to sit down with every congressman I've ever had and every senator, and they always tell me they're too busy, and if I want to come and, I don't know, get like a nosebleed seat to view them, not talk to them or anything, but just like view them, then I can go to this high school or that high school and get packed up in a gymnasium of a bunch of ne'er-do-wells that want to attack and abuse rather than provide constructive opportunities for solutions. Whenever I try to sit down with them, Kurt, they don't have time. Now, if I go on Pickle Day where they're giving out free pickles or something, I might be able to say hi and get a photo, but not really sit down and have a conversation of substance, Kurt. And I mean, is your experience the same? I don't really get the chance to meet my congressmen or senators at all, no matter how hard I try. Doesn't matter that I'm somewhat of a celebrity and a nationally syndicated talk show host. You know, I'm just not important enough, I guess. Even if I go all the way to Washington, I still can't see them, Kurt. Do I know why?
Well, yeah.
Because when I go to Washington, they've just left. Or, you know what? They've got an important.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Sam.
I've
got a speech to go attend, or I got a this, or I got a. They always got to be somewhere else but with me.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is audio from a YouTube. And so when you're watching the video, like when he says they got to go hard at work, it shows them laying out on the beach. And
well, you know, I would never hope for this, but I wonder if one of them gators have come. Just saying. I would never hope for that to happen. I hope that somebody, hey, get up, Congressman, and run for it. There's a gator coming. That's what I hope happens, right?
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Sam and Kurt back with you live. So really, you know, I can't get a hold of my congressmen or senators if I try. I mean, I can even tell them I'm in their district. I can even say, you know what, I'd really love you to come on the radio with me so that we could talk about the issues of the day. I've even offered to congressmen and senators to say, listen, I have a nationally syndicated radio talk show at my expense. I'll put you on and talk about, and whatever it is, it's about an item they've emailed me about and said, Sam, can you help with this? We need your money really bad. We got to get this off the ground that we have a critical, you know, window of opportunity here. Jump on this now. The time is urgent. And then I email them and say, hey, my name is Sam Bushman, talk show host of the nationally syndicated Liberty Roundtable radio talk show. And you know what? We'd love to help you promote this item. Get a hold of me. We'll put you on the radio. We'll talk about it. We'll raise money. We'll do everything. We'll partner on this thing. Let's go. And then they usually either ignore me, Kurt, and don't write back, or what they oftentimes do, and this is one of their favorites. Well, I'm not really the guy in charge, but don't worry. I've looped in a scheduler, and this person will be looped in and take good care of you. Then the looped-in person never responds, and then you try to get a hold of them, and they don't respond. And finally, they respond, and they sound positive, like they're going to get it done. And then before you know it, it's like, you know, we appreciate it, but, man, when do you want to have them on, Sam? And I'd say, well, what about this date or this date? And then they come back, and they go, well, neither of those dates will work for you. Thanks so much. I guess another time, you know, consider it another time. Then I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. What about, you know, the fact that it's Monday through Friday and we can do it anytime? And then they're like, well, I'll check with the congressman and get back to you. And literally, Kurt, it never happens. And what you've got is these whole teams of staffers, whatever you want to call them, bureaucrats or whatever you want, gatekeepers. And their real job isn't to help you or facilitate negotiations or discussions or interactions or communications or representation or anything like that. Their goal is to shut you down and make sure it doesn't happen. And I'm not telling you that I'm the most important person in the world. I'm not trying to run around and tell you that I'm an awesome celebrity or anything. I am saying that I'm probably more than your average Joe. And when I say more, I don't mean more important in God's eyes or more important in terms of our God-given unalienable rights. I'm just telling you, in our society, if you're a nationally syndicated talk show host, or if you're the president of a well-known organization or some of those kind of things, or like I'm the operations manager for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, I'm a public speaker and nationally syndicated talk show host. I'm not saying I'm more important than any, but what I'm saying is usually you would think that you'd get a little bit more attention. But that doesn't even work, Kurt. And so, and I find that the more the senator and or congressman is conservative or acts like they're for freedom, begs me for money, the less accessible they really are, Kurt. Have you noticed that, too? The
well,
more they beg me
point,
for money,
Sam,
the less available they really are.
And, you know, they're working hard to get the money they need to run for office. Now, you mentioned the updates to the freedomcoalition.com, and I, you know, I mean, my brain's a little, well, a lot slower than yours, and so I did go there and saw the new GoFundMe little part. When you go to the freedomcoalition.com, you can see it at the top of the page. You've got these sections: home, sign the petition, news, donate, GoFundMe, contact, you know. And so, for example, when you go to the GoFundMe part, you get to read a bunch of good stuff about, hey, what the plan is and all that kind of stuff. One thing that I found interesting is, you know, when you go to the news part? Yeah, the news. Then you can read, hey, well, just kind of what's happening with Sheriff Mack and et cetera. And you mentioned this Trump Tower thing, and so it was interesting to me to read that as well, where Richard Mack went to the Trump Tower, you know, after
being
basically...
And I've got guys telling me, and we just put up text because it's just like a little blog of what happens, a blurb from the sheriff while he's on the road. And guys are telling me nobody cares unless you put up photos, Sam. So I got to get pictures or it's DOA, I guess,
oh,
right?
I don't understand that. I mean, it's plenty good, you know. Right there. There
well,
are some people
Nation,
that see.
Kurt, you got to have photos or nothing happens. In fact, you need full-blown video.
Well, okay.
Never mind
right,
the fact
but
that
I like
to
read
frugal
the story.
With people's money, Kurt. But
yeah, yeah, good point. So this one's headline, "My First Visit Was to Trump Tower." You know, Sheriff Mack says, "Well, a huge problem happened to me on my way to the forum." And then he puts in parentheses, New York City to be exact, you know. "And it was Mother Nature." Yeah, she made my trip to the Big Apple almost impossible and with very little results. Yeah, but he's trying, ladies and gentlemen. He's the sheriff, the good sheriff's working for us. New York City was hit with a deadly blizzard that shut down schools. We can all be grateful for that. Businesses and transportation except taxis. Thank goodness. You should try the Uber as well. My first visit was to Trump Tower,
Hold on,
he
Kurt,
says.
There's a problem with Uber. Yes. You got to have a smartphone to use that, my friend.
Oh, that's right. That's why Mac needs you and me going along with him, right, Sam? Because at least we could bring the smartphone.
Yes, but I hate to travel. I do it on occasion, but I can't
stand
it.
I know. But he needs somebody helping him out. We've got some buddies of ours that want to help him, but, you know, he kind of was a little bit like the Lone Ranger, you know what I mean? Then it says,
I'm sure he'd be glad to have us with him, but it's...
That's right, good point. My first visit was to Trump Tower, he says, where I weaved, you know, like Dennis Weaver, you know, my way through SWAT teams, Secret Service, and several other layers of hotel and private security. At the end of all this, I was told I could not even go up the elevator without having an appointment or someone else calling the Trump family or staff to pave the way for me to even make it to the Trump receptionist. Wow. So Sam and I got busy. That's you, Sam. And I got busy calling our Trump contacts to see, you know, contacts to see if anyone could make such a call. No luck.
I left a little discouraged. Except for since we don't smoke cigars, that didn't work.
That's so. Right.
No luck.
Yeah, he says, I left a little discouraged. Yeah, to be so close and yet so far away, kind of like a song. My spirit was further dampened by the fierce wind and snow in my face, waiting out in the New York streets for a cab. Yeah, because he doesn't have a smartphone. He can't get an Uber. I next went to Fox News and tried to get my contacts, something there to see again, there to help me arrange some interviews with reporters I've done, you know, there in the past. Again, no luck. Most of them didn't even make it to work that day. Yeah, that's right, especially when Congress is out and there's a snowstorm. You gotta not even be there. So he said, I headed over to the New York Times office to see a reporter who'd done a story about me and the constitutional sheriffs back in 2010. And this guy even came to a speaking event, Sheriff Max says, back in out in Idaho. But the snow blocked that meeting from happening as well. Some doors did open in New York, he says, but only momentarily. There will be some follow-up after I get home, and yes, I will be back. Sheriff Mack.
So there you have it, kind of a frustrating day. We're not here just to report the good. We're here to report the reality of what happens. Yeah. It's not quite like reality TV because there's not pictures, but it is like a reality blog of what's happening, a travel blog. And it really lets you know what's going on. So Richard Mack is supposed to be, as far as I understand, back in D.C. today. Etc. And, you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very good.
All right. Quick update before you. We'll try to get Mac on, see if he's around, by the way. But Trump must break judicial power, writes Patrick J. Buchanan.
Well, this is a really good, you know, in my opinion, Pat Buchanan is one of the best, I guess you could say, advisors for President Trump. Of anybody, and yet he's not one, I'm sure, but he writes great stuff. And this is from the WorldNet Daily piece, boys, and it says, disheartening and demoralizing, wailed Judge Neil Gorsuch of President Trump's comments about the judges seeking to overturn his 90-day ban on travel to the U.S. from the greater Middle East war zones. What a wimp. Did our future justice break down crying like Senator Chuck Schumer? Sorry, this is not Antonin Scalia and just what horrible thing had our president said? Well, we'll tell you.
Now, they're also trying to make it seem like that Gorsuch and Trump are in a fight or they're not, you know, standing by each other. That could be true. It also could be so that people don't think that he's a lackey of Trump. What the real story is behind that? Not sure.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The ancient Greek medical doctor and philosopher Hippocrates revolutionized medical ethics by defining the role of the physician exclusively as that of a healer. Central to the Hippocratic Oath is the promise that a medical doctor will do no intentional harm to his patient. In recent decades, this patient-centered moral principle has been subverted by redefining the physician's role as an agent of society. Thus, physicians have been employed to administer lethal injections to carry out capital punishment. Many others have committed abortion, a killing procedure explicitly forbidden by the original Hippocratic Oath. The journal Bioethics recently published an essay contending that doctors have no right to refuse what is called medical assistance in dying or participating in abortions, irrespective of their religious or ethical convictions. Conscientious objectors who refuse to carry out such killing procedures, the authors contend, should be systematically weeded out of the medical profession. Medical schools and training programs should carefully outline the nature of the job and screen for conscientious objection where it is relevant to job performance, the authors maintain. Requirements of the job should be written into the contract. They observe that Sweden, Finland, and several other European countries have quietly implemented measures of this kind. Omitted from that list, significantly, is the most important example, National Socialist Germany, where the Hippocratic Oath itself was rewritten to redefine the physician's role as representing the interests of the Volk as defined by that government rather than those of any individual patient. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, we're going to get back to this Patrick J.B. Cannon piece in a little bit. We got the good sheriff on the radio with us, Sheriff Mack. Just got back to D.C. He's on the road. What I find fascinating is even after we do our best to check the calendar of the Congress critters, we think that they're in town for a whole week and they ditch us for half the week, even if we're in D.C., huh, Sheriff?
Yeah, that's right. And can you hear me okay? Am I coming across okay?
You're a little bit garbled, but you're okay.
Okay, how's that?
A little better.
All right. Well, you know, Washington, D.C. Is, I think, a cesspool. You know, we've talked about this on your show for a lot, you know, ad nauseum. And it really did make me nauseated to see what goes on here. There's the bottom line that I feel real about Washington, D.C. The politicians here, the leaders here really don't care about the small guy out there. They don't care about the common Joe. They really don't. And I was having this talk with the hotel staff, and I told them, I said, you know, I said, after spending days here, and I've been here before, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, Democrat and Republican, they don't give a hoot about you or me. And they said, oh, yeah, we believe that. And I said, I'm telling you right now, it's the last administration. It's the one before that. It's the one before that. And I really do have some hope for Trump. I really do. He's going against the grain. He's unorthodox. He's not a politician. He really doesn't care if he offends somebody. And I really like that. Because you've got to get over here and you've got to be ready and courageous enough to offend people and to go against the grain of corruption here. And I really am hopeful about that. And I really hope that we can make some headway with Trump helping us get these people that we're working for out of jail. Now, Sam, you know what we
really quick though, before you go on, a proof of that is we really were praising Chuck Schumer, who we rarely get a chance to praise because he set up an appointment with you so willingly. But what he really did is he ditched out on it.
Yeah, well, he did have a speech at that time, but what they had set me up with is one of his workers, one of his staff, one of his key staff. And next thing I know, after I waited 25 minutes, the staff member had to go help take him some notes or take him something that he needed for a speech to badmouth Jeff Sessions, why Jeff Sessions should not be the attorney general. So, you know, I personally didn't find that very important, but if you say you're going to meet with somebody, I can understand being a little bit late, but I don't understand just saying, okay, well, never mind. You know, it's very disrespectful, and it's, I value my time.
Well, and I even get if you say, oh my gosh, sir, I am so sorry. We didn't count on this, but can we regroup at this time? I get that. What I don't get is ditching out, standing you up, making you wait, making promises, and now you don't really have anything even set up, do you?
No. In fact, they said, well, maybe you can email us something, you know, and I'm telling you, I got tired of all the congressional offices telling me, well, here's our email us something. And I started just going, I know, every time I went to another office, I said, I know, you want me to email you something. They go, how'd you know? You know?
So, yeah, you know, put just stupid on my forehead. I got this after a time or 5 or 50.
Yeah, exactly. And so to review what I've done this week, a meeting with a reporter for lunch from the Washington Post, and then I'm on Tom Hartman at 2 o'clock Eastern time, which would be noon your time. So Tom Hartman does have me on. That's all scheduled, and his staff has been really good. And I'm going to just talk about this whole thing and really elaborate on that. You know, I'm going to just tell Tom, if you trust any of these politicians and you keep, being a latchkey and a supporter for the progressives, they don't care about you, Tom. They don't care about your audience. And for anybody to believe that they do. I mean,
they care if they send you an email and you donate. They care about that. But they don't care about your issue or your circumstances, and they don't have time for you no matter what. I don't mean to be offensive, but if a guy came to my door and I was in Congress, and it was the guy that beat the Clinton administration at the Supreme Court, and then not only that, a former sheriff, and a law enforcement official for, 20 years, someone who has gone to the FBI Academy, et cetera, multi-book author. I mean, I can keep naming things, but everybody gets the point. I would at least maybe make some time for him, but we can't even get that done, right?
Well, we did with a few, obviously, we've already talked about.
Yeah, but they haven't committed anything. They entertained you, and at least even when you get the to talk, we're going to look into this, we're going to investigate this thing, and then it's back to email my scheduler. And, you know, then we'll let you know. And are you really going to be able to get follow-up and really get accountability and really get a yay or nay on it?
Well, that remains to be seen, and I hope so. I really trust Andy Biggs, and I think he will. I don't know. Gohmert seemed very frustrated, look, I've already been trying to do stuff like this, and I can't get anything done. And it's impossible to get Democrats to look at revamping the bureaucracies. Well, I think if the Republicans made it a big issue, there's no way they not, because they're in control of all three segments of our...
Yeah, but the Republicans are fractured behind the scenes so badly. There's been conversations even leaked out of their secret sessions. They have these secret chamber sessions they have. And we just see that they can't even agree on anything.
No, and they're not. Hannity really railed on the Republicans again. He said, look, we've got a president that's ready to go. Where are the rest of you Republicans? What are you doing? And I thought that was a very good point. I think he really called them to task. Why are people hiding? And why aren't they getting behind a president who's finally really dedicated to getting things done? And I will tell you, quite honestly, the more I see from Trump, the more I'm liking him.
I agree.
He's not a staunch constitutional conservative, but I really like that he's being so bold in Washington, D.C.
I agree, and I really like that he's doing his best. People can criticize what's not been done, but you got to blame it on Congress, not on Trump. He's trying hard.
Yeah. And so I guess, Sam, being in Friday, that this is my last day here. I've told people and others that I will be back, and I think that you and I and the people on our CSPOA board need to decide our next move, our next strategy, see if we hear from any other congressmen who I've met with here. Maybe visit Jason Chaffetz, Congressman Chaffetz in Utah while you and I are there sometime. And maybe Rob Bishop, whose office I went to both of their offices here. And then maybe get me some in Arizona also, get some more there, follow up with Andy Bigg, get his advice as to where we should go.
Well, and maybe what we can do is we can't, just because our contacts didn't work out yesterday on the spot in a snowstorm, that doesn't mean that we can't get somebody to put the word in so that you could get into Trump Tower and get an appointment. We're still working on that,
exactly.
Too.
And I feel encouraged by that. I think we do have enough contacts to make that happen. And that's one thing we learned yesterday when you and I were frantically trying to call somebody to get me upstairs.
And we don't mean to be negative, folks, but we do mean to give you it's like reality blog, reality, It's not TV because there's not, footage and it's not salacious, but this is a reality check on what we're doing, and we're not discouraged in the sense that we're going to give up in any way. Let's make that very clear. We are trying to give you a reality of what we're running into, though.
Sam, when you and I started this project and we got all the people on board that we've got on board, I would have told you you're crazy. There's no way we would have had this much success this quickly. So in dealing with Washington, D.C. and New York, we still have to be patient. But, it's really hard for me to talk to the families of people who have their dad in prison. It's really hard for me to say you're just going to have to wait a little bit. You're going to have to be patient. Because when truth and justice are on their side, they just don't get why we have to delay making something good happen here. And so, starting Monday in Wichita, Kansas, coming to D.C. Monday night, working here Tuesday and Wednesday, going to New York late Wednesday night, spending all day Thursday there. And I'll tell you what, I was really tired after that. I was tromping around in the snow. There's a lot of walking in New York, whether or not you're in a cab or not. Waiting for cabs out there in that snow was a lot longer and took a lot longer than normal. I just felt like my hair was running down my sides of my face and sides of my head. And I've stepped in several puddles.
But we take courage in our God and the hope for liberty, and we'll never give up. Stay there, Sheriff. Back in seconds, Sam Curtin, the good sheriff from D.C. on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Sheriff Richard Mack on the ground in D.C. He's got a lunch appointment. That's good news. He's got a radio interview on the Tom Hartman radio program. Tom's quite liberal, but you know what? He's a very nice guy. We like him. We don't agree with him on everything, but we certainly can work with him because he's kind. We're willing to be the same, and he would just disagree when we disagree, but work together on the things we can agree on. And you met with the leader of the National Sheriff's Association, too, the other day, right?
Yes, I did, and he and I really got off on a good start, and I'm going to follow up with him. And I believe that I am going to go visit him in Louisiana, where he's from.
All right, well, I hope that goes well also. But we want to be positive about what we're doing. There's a lot of good. We have a lot of names that have jumped on this thing quickly. We are not even close to giving up or being out of avenues for solutions. We're going to keep on this for sure. But there are some setbacks, and we want to be as candid about those as we are our successes.
Yeah, there have been. But, you know, I really consider the honest, open discussion that he and I had, his name's Sheriff Champagne, and we really had a good conversation. And I said, I really don't understand why there's been such a negative attitude towards me and my Supreme Court case ever since 1994 that the National Sheriff's Association has had. And he says, I might have some ideas about that. And I said, well, let's sit down and talk about it. He goes, I'm all for it. We tried to get together here, but because of me bouncing back and forth from New York and his schedule, and he was headed home, we didn't make it happen here, which I didn't think was going to happen. But he is open to it, and I'm going to ask him for a chance to just come out to Louisiana and visit him there. If we get him on our side at all on this, it would be a huge coup in getting help for these people. If the National Sheriff's Association says yes, we don't agree with Sheriff Mack on everything, but this is one time we totally agree these people should not be in prison, and we need to get them some relief and help.
All right. It seems like Rand Paul would be one of the biggest supporters. Not only do we have one of our cases or examples of abuse in his state, but he's supposedly one of the most freedom-loving senators of all. How was your opportunity with Rand Paul?
Well, I went in his office, and the people there were nice, you know. But I went in Mitch McConnell's also, and his people were nice. Tanya's been trying to call and get something done at Rand Paul's office and trying to get me in there and trying to get somebody to respond to us, and that never happened. They started getting a little bit done there and a little bit closer to him up to receive this information. But it hasn't happened yet, and so there's another disappointment.
So what are we going to do if Rand Paul won't help us, if Mike Lee won't help us, if Justin Amash won't help us, if, I mean, I could go on.
We're in trouble.
Who's going to help us, Sheriff?
Yeah, then we're in trouble if we don't get those that you mentioned and a few others. They're going to have to run with this, and they're going to have to take this. But you know what, Sam, really? They wouldn't even have to spend much time on this if they would simply get the door open for us over at the White House. And we could just take it from there, because the bottom line is these congressmen and senators can't really do much about this except, you know, rein in the funding for these idiotic bureaucracies that are doing these crimes. But they can't go in and get anybody out of prison. They could pull a Randy Garber, like the state legislator in Kansas, and write to the judges and jailers and say, hey, release that guy. I am going to come in and take his place. Randy Garber actually wrote the judge in Wichita, the federal judge, and said he was more culpable on this situation because he helped pass this law that these two young men actually counted on to back them to keep them out of trouble. And so he says, I'm more culpable than they are. I will serve their time. Of course, they didn't get any time, so he didn't have to test that with the judge. But that's what we need, that kind of strength and courage from our United States congressional members. And they need to do that kind of same thing and have the courage to stand like that.
All right. Anything else, Sheriff? We'll let you fly to your lunch appointment. Keep us posted, sir. Travel safe.
All right. Thanks, Dan. We'll see you soon.
There he goes. We know he's got a tight schedule, so we're kind of limiting his time on the radio that he normally is with us because he's in taxis. He's on the road. We don't want to tie up all of his cell minutes or his cell won't work. It's just, you know, we're doing the best we can while he's on the road. We appreciate the good sheriff and what he does. We're supporting him all the way. TheFreedomCoalition.com for you to learn more. Check out the news section to keep up on what's happening day to day. Click on the GoFundMe or the donate link to get involved. See all the incredible neighbors that have joined our cause. We're not going negative. We're just telling you, sometimes it's tough, but we're going to keep on the beat. We're never going to give up. All right, Kurt, back to the Pat Buchanan article. You know, Donald Trump has got to stop this out-of-control belligerent judiciary, right?
Well, it's a great point, Sam. And, you know, I thought it was interesting. You know, he starts out with the latest deal where they're pointing out maybe some little differences between Trump and Gorsuch. And then he, you know, goes on down the list, you know, and he says, well... Look at this, he says, you know, a so-called judge blocked the travel ban, and this is what Trump said, and the arguments in court where Ninth Circuit appellate judges were hearing the government's appeal were disgraceful. Trump said a bad student in high school would have understood the arguments better, and I pretty much agree. Then Pat Buchanan says, did the president disparage a couple of judges? Then he says, yep. he goes on, he says, yet compare his remarks to the tweeted screeds of Elizabeth Warren after her Senate colleague, Jeff Sessions, was confirmed as Attorney General. Sessions said, Warren, this is what the Senator Warren said about him, represents radical hatred. And if he makes the, quote, tiniest attempt to bring his racism, sexism, and bigotry, end quote, into the Department of Justice, all of us will pile on. Yeah. Pat Buchanan says, now this is hate speech, and it validates Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's decision to use Senate rules to shut her down. These episodes reveal much about America 2017. This goes to what you were saying earlier in the first hour, I think, Sam. They reflect first, Pat Buchanan says, the poisoned character of our politics. The language of Warren that Sessions is steeped in racism, sexism, and bigotry echoes
the
ugliest.
And the thing is, they know that it's a lie. They know that it's not
yeah.
true.
Yeah, and it says, echoes the ugliest slander of the Hillary Clinton campaign, where she used similar words to describe Trump's deplorables. Pat Buchanan continues, such language, reflecting as it does the beliefs of one half of America about the other, rules out any rapprochement in America's social or political life. This is pre-Civil War language. For how do you sit down and work alongside people you believe to be crypto-Nazis, Klansmen, and fascists? Apparently you don't. Rather, you vilify them, riot against them, deny them the right to be to speak or be heard, and such conduct is becoming common on campuses today. Now, Pat Buchanan is just hitting it out of the park with almost every sentence, I think, because he's been around. He's watched this happen. He's run for president. He knows how this whole thing works. Now he gives you some background on some history. He says, as for Trump's disparagement of the judges, only someone ignorant of history can view that as frightening. Thomas Jefferson not only refused to enforce the Alien and Sedition Acts of President John Adams, his party impeached. There's that word, Sam. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Chase, who had presided over one of the trials. Jackson, I guess we're talking about Andrew Jackson, defied Chief Justice John Marshall's prohibition against moving the Cherokees out of Georgia to west of the Mississippi, where, according to the Harvard resume of Senator Warren, one of them bundled fruitfully with one of her ancestors, making her part Cherokee. Yeah, that's a lie too, I think. But anyway, when Chief Justice Roger Taney declared that President Abraham Lincoln's suspension of the writ of habeas corpus violated the Constitution, Lincoln considered sending U.S. troops to arrest the Chief Justice. Anyway, the bottom line is this deal of presidents having, you know, trouble with judges isn't anything new, right, Sam?
It's nothing new, but our response is much less valuable than it used to be, is the point. There used to be checks and balances. People fought for their delegated responsibilities. They took them seriously. They didn't like encroachments of the separations of powers. That's how the founding fathers used to behave and understand. Nowadays, we simply just let, you know, the judges do what they do and then go, oh my gosh, these guys are out of control. And that's about it.
Anyway, Pat Buchanan ends up and says, clipping of the court's wings is long overdue. I don't see why they don't bring out the I word, impeach them. You know, bring them right out and impeach these judges.
Spot on. Couldn't have said it better myself. Pat J. Buchanan doing a great job. We commend him and we absolutely concur. That's one of the things that I've really hammered on for the last 20 plus years. 25 years. You know what? We've got to impeach them when they violate their proper delegated authority, folks. It's that simple. And if we don't, we're never going to rein it in. We got to defund these people, too. They got plenty of money, and that's one of the biggest problems of all. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. 2 hours in the can, hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips, libertyroundtable.com, libertynewsradio.com, and libertynewsdaily.com. We'd love your support, including financial. And we, the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America, but we need your help. Have a delightful weekend. This nation shall endure.